Does it make any difference about your religion? Does it make any difference about what a man believes? Listen to these words of inspiration from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith also is vain. Does it make any difference about what one believes? In this text, Paul states conclusively that a man's faith is vain if he does not believe in the resurrection of Christ. A man's belief or disbelief in the resurrection will not affect the resurrection, but what one believes will affect his destiny on the day of the resurrection. What difference does it make about one's religion if he is honest and sincere? What difference does it make about the church one belongs to if he is honestly endeavoring to serve God? Does it make any difference about what one believes? These are questions for serious consideration. How could men say, "But it makes no difference what a man believes"? The belief of a proposition, though honest and sincere one might be, does not make it right. While in India a few months ago, I learned of an unusual brand of religion, that of worshiping rats. In the state of Rajasthan, India, it is said that the rat population outnumbers the human population. 25 million rats and 20,100,000 people. In the town of Deshok, there is an ancient temple which serves as a rat sanctuary. The rats are considered to be holy. No man, tourist or otherwise, is permitted to harm the holy rats. A priest warns, "If you should kill a rat, you will be required to present the temple with the statue of a rat cast in gold, or the equivalent in cash, the amount of which would be 3,000 rupees or $400. Here, thousands of honest and sincere people worship rats in the holy rat temple, chanting, "Jahashara, Jahashamacha, glory be, glory be." One observer explained, "This worshiping of rats goes on day in, day out. They are not ordinary rats. These rats are the divine mounts of the holy Ganesh. The holy Ganesh is the Hindu god with the head of an elephant who is the god of prosperity." What irony! What a delusion! Thousands of honest, deep religious people worshiping rats as the god of prosperity, buying food for the thousands of hungry rats in one temple at a cost of 24,000 rupees or $3,250 per year, while many of their own people die of starvation. No responsible person would question the honesty or the sincerity of the people with such deep religious convictions. But ladies and gentlemen, question, does that make it right because they believe it to be so? Does it make any difference about what a man believes? On this trip around the world, I was moved with pity as I looked upon the thousands of depressed people in India, some of whom were near starvation. In a country of 550 million people and a rise of 1 million per month, where the per capita income is only $40 per year, where 80% of the population suffer from malnutrition, in spite of the fact that the United States has contributed $8 billion since 1951, we are so greatly impressed that it does make a difference about a man's religion, what he believes, and what he does. How could any reasonable person conclude that it doesn't make any difference about what a man believes? Suppose one is visiting a neighbor while there receives a call that his house is burning down. He would, no doubt, get in his car, run through the red lights, break the speed limit, risk his life by disobeying traffic regulations in order to get to his home and try to save his possessions. But suppose when he arrives, he learns that his house was not on fire. It was a false report. My friends, can you not see that although the report was false, it produced the same effect as if it had been the truth. A falsehood, when believed to be the truth, may produce the same effect upon one as if it were the truth, though completely false. A person may honestly and sincerely believe a falsehood, but his honesty and sincerity in the matter does not change the falsehood, nor the consequences of believing the falsehood. Does it make any difference? Actually, we should say, is there any difference in truth and error? Hear the answer from the Word of God. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, it is recorded, Jesus therefore said unto those Jews that believed him, If ye abide in my word, then are ye truly my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, Paul wrote, And for this cause, the preceding verse says, Because they receive not the love of the truth, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Does that make any difference? Is there any difference between truth and error? Jesus said, The truth shall make you free. Paul declared, That they all might be damned who believe not the truth. What is the difference? Believe and obey the truth and obtain salvation. Ye shall be free, Jesus declared. Or, believe a falsehood and suffer condemnation. Does that make any difference? Truth and salvation, a lie and condemnation. Surely there must be a difference. The difference, ladies and gentlemen, is the difference between truth and error. The difference is that of being saved and that of being lost. There are many Bible examples which answer the question, does it make any difference? In 1 Kings, the 13th chapter, we have a conclusive answer to this most important question. Jehovah instructed the prophet of God out of Judah to go to Bethel and destroy the altar by which King Jeroboam offered incense. God instructed the young prophet not to go home with anyone, neither to eat bread or drink water, nor return the same route over which he went to Bethel. The instructions were simple and easily understood. The prophet obeyed God. The altar was destroyed. The king reached forth his hand to lay hold on the prophet of God, but his hand was dried up. He then besought the prophet of God that he should restore his hand. The prophet favored him by asking God to restore the hand, and it was restored. The king then invited the prophet to go home with him. The prophet declined the invitation. The king insisted, but the prophet said, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread nor drink water in this place. 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 4 through 9. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask, what could have been wrong with the prophet's acceptance of the king's invitation? Don't you know that the prophet must have been tired and hungry and thirsty? Would he have not appreciated the hospitality of the most humble home, much less that of a king's palace? Surely there could be nothing morally wrong within itself for the prophet to have gone home with the king. There was just one thing wrong. God said, Do not go home with anybody. Do not eat or drink with anyone. Does that make any difference? My friends, it makes all the difference. We must obey God in all things He has commanded, even though we may not understand the full significance of such actions. We dare not disobey God regardless of what others may say or think. We must not disobey God. We cannot alter God's word regardless of circumstances. But that is not the end of this story. There was an older prophet living in Bethel. His sons came home and told their father what the man of God had done in Bethel and how he had declined the king's invitation. The elder prophet then went to find the younger prophet. He found him sitting under an oak tree. He invited the young prophet to go home with him and eat bread. The young prophet declined, saying God had forbidden him to eat or drink with anyone there. But the elder prophet said, I also am a prophet, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. 1 Kings 13, verse 18. The young prophet believed the older prophet. He believed the old prophet was telling him the truth. But the Bible says the old prophet lied unto him. 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse 18. Oh, how often honest and sincere people are misled by placing their trust and confidence in men of this earth. Someone may say, But I believe Dr. Bill because he is an educated man and because he is a man that knows God. I'm willing to follow his instructions regardless of what the Bible says. What a tragic mistake. We would not encourage distrust of our fellow man. Neither would we recommend unqualified trust in any man, regardless of God's order. One cannot put his trust in any man for the salvation of his soul. Friends, hear me. Are you listening? When any man contradicts God's word, we have no alternative but to believe God and reject man. In this case, the elder prophet declared that he spoke by the authority of an angel, which spoke unto him the word of the Lord. The young prophet was deceived by a falsehood. Does that make any difference? What happened to the young prophet? The young prophet accepted the invitation of the old prophet. He believed the old prophet was telling him the truth. The very conscientious young prophet went home with the old prophet, and as they sat at the table, God caused the elder prophet to reveal the fact that he had lied to the young prophet. Furthermore, God made it known through the old prophet that the young prophet must pay the penalty of his disobedience unto God, the penalty of believing a lie, in this case, death. The young prophet mounted his donkey. He started on his way back home, having been deceived by a lie, sincerely believing it to have been the truth. As he traveled on the way, a lion leaped upon him and dragged him from his donkey and crushed the very life out of his body, all because of his disobedience unto God. He believed the elder prophet was delivering to him a message from God. He believed it was the truth, but it was a falsehood. The young prophet's believing this was a message of truth from God did not change the fact that it was a lie. The honest and sincere belief of a lie cost the young prophet his life. Does that make any difference? It should be observed in this case that the man who told the lie was not the man who was punished. The man who believed the lie was the man who paid the penalty. Yes, liars will have their part in the lake of fire as revealed in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. But those who believe a lie, even though they believe it to be the truth, must also suffer the consequences. It does make a difference. Why did the elder prophet lie to the young prophet? We do not know. Perhaps he thought God would overlook the falsehood since he was doing a good deed by inviting the tired and no doubt hungry young prophet to go to his home. We can imagine that the elder prophet had sincere sympathy and interest in the welfare of the young prophet. Surely he was wanting to do good. But sincere and honorable motives and deeds will not atone for disobedience under God's commands. Many sincere people have concluded that God will overlook their disobedience because of the good deeds they do. Honest people are often deceived. The motives of the elder prophet may have been good, but the belief of a falsehood by the young prophet was fatal. It cost his life. Does that make any difference? Does it make any difference about your religion? Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? Are you a member of the Lord's church? Don't you know that it does make a difference? We shall consider these matters in the lesson to follow. Does it make any difference about the religion that you profess? Does it make any difference about what a man believes?